Good morning. It is great to see everyone this morning. Yesterday was a good day, but I will tell you, I was a little down yesterday. I got pretty used to seeing everybody this week. It was great. It was a great week to be able to see everybody, spend time together, to be able to fellowship with one another, open God's Word. We had some great lessons. We have a really great congregation. You know, the thing is, you start to try to think of the people, and you're always going to leave somebody out, right? So thank you to everyone. And the thing is, I hope that if you were left out or felt like you were left out, please don't take it personally. God knows what you've done, and He knows the service that you've given, and He has a far greater reward than we could ever give you with lip service waiting for you. Thank you so much for all that you did. There are so many who did so many things, who saw needs and just took care of those things. It is incredible. What a fun week. And so thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you did to make this a great week for a lot of great kids, for a really great community, but for a really great body of Christ right here. And you guys are just so special, one of a kind. Thank you for such a great week. And I will tell you that if you missed this past week, you missed out. It was great. It was great to see everyone and great to be involved in such a great work to be able to have an outreach to the community and to see so many that came. Just a really special week that we got to spend together. I would invite you this morning to open your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. We do have a couple of birthdays that we get to remember this week. Tucker Gasway has a birthday on Thursday, so wish him a happy birthday. How old's he going to be? 12. So yeah, last year before we are a teenager and have one in your house. You're welcome. Hey, listen, we got one married off. I'm telling you, it's all coming, and it's going to go really fast. Just so you know, just that flies. But we're excited to be able to celebrate a birthday with him this week, and Miss Linda Baker celebrates a birthday on Saturday, so make sure that you wish Linda a happy birthday. It's always great when we get to celebrate birthdays together. You know, you think about the book of Titus, and I love the way that this is a personal letter that Paul writes to a man who he has left in Crete, and he is to be busy, he's to be active, he's to all the congregations that they have set up, and this is a small island. But they've set up multiple congregations on this island. He is to go into them and he is to put men in place. He is to establish elderships. He is to help make sure that those congregations are going to remain strong and true to what the Lord would have them to do. And he's going to lay out, beginning in chapter 1 there, about verse number 10, exactly what the elders' task is going to look like. So he gives qualifications, what their task is to look like, and he starts in chapter 2 to lay out then the fact that there are people that are all going to be active and busy. You have the older ladies teaching the younger, the older men teaching the younger, so that these congregations stay true to the course, so that they do what they are supposed to do. And then, beginning in verse 11, and this is where our lesson's going to come from, Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11, he gives us the greatest reason that we could have to be a Christian, to be a follower of God. Beginning in verse 11 of here in Titus 2, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you." Do you see the grace of God that brings about salvation in verse number 11 has appeared to all men? And what does it teach? Teaches me that I got to be godly. I have to deny, meaning I don't participate in those things that are ungodly. I don't follow after those things any longer. Paul is reminding Titus of who Christians are now. They're not those that follow in these things. And then he goes in with verse number 13 to demonstrate who Jesus is, looking for that blessed hope. There's the firm foundation on which we stand. That blessed hope and glorious appearing of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have a foundation that we stand on. His death, burial, and resurrection. We think about Romans 1 and verse 16, right? Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Well, there's that hope on which we stand. That we stand on His death, burial, and resurrection. That we think about how glorious it will be when He returns, because no more will we have the things that, the sorrows and pain, the things that we have in this life. We can look forward to that. In fact, we can base our life on it. We can set our life on it. And we see in verse 14 this beautiful picture of Jesus Himself. He gave Himself for us. There's the gift. There's the sacrifice. He gave Himself for us. Why? That He might redeem us from every lawless deed. Redeem us from every lawless deed. Meaning that there is not a sin you and I can commit today that we don't have the ability to be forgiven of. And not because of what we've done, but because of what He did. He is the one who gave Himself, who shed His blood. It was that perfect sacrifice for us to be able to take advantage of that salvation, the grace of God, that something we don't deserve. Jesus is the one who gave Himself for it, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed. And notice, He goes on from there and He says, and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. You know, part of VBS and the things that we get to watch and leading up to it, I think about our kids. Dalton had a couple of his buddies that he had invited to come to VBS. I know that others were reaching out to those in the community. We have flyers. We've made posts on social media to invite all of these people, right? Come be a part of this. We want to be excited about that. Now the VBS is over. Here's where the work begins. Because those that have come, we need to continue to invite and continue to go see so that they can continue to understand what it is to be a part of God's family, His body, to be a part of the greatest thing that He has ever instituted on the face of this earth, the church. So we can show that. We don't just show it by inviting, we show it by living. We show it by helping people see it in us. You see that He has purified for Himself His own special people. Our responsibility is the last part of verse 14. Zealous for good works. That word zealous means to be engaged. In fact, in the Greek, it would mean to be active, busy, hot, boiling, or boiling over. Anybody excited to be a Christian? Is this something that makes your day every day? Do you get up excited to be a Christian? People ask me, how you doing? Awesome. Why? I'm me. I can only be me. The greatest part about me is I get to be a child of God every day. There's nothing greater you and I could be. And we get to show people that every single day. We get to show them what it is to be redeemed, to be purified, to be His, not mine, His. Think about Philippians chapter 2. Go to verse number 20. Think about these words that Paul writes. Usually I sing them. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Paul writes and says, I have been crucified with Christ. So it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, and he did it for a reason, so I would be zealous about living for him. Zealous for good works. Zealous to demonstrate what it is to be a child of God. It's no longer I who live, Christ who lives in me. So when people see me, what they see is Jesus. They don't see Corey. They see Jesus. They see somebody who is emulating his example, who is living like him every single day. That's what people get to see in us. That's who people get to see. Be his special people. It's been this way. Go back to Exodus chapter 19 with me, please. And I want us to look at what it is to get to be a child of God. What it is to get to be special, unique. Not like anybody else. Here in Exodus chapter 19, the children of Israel have come out of Egypt. They get to Mount Sinai. And in verse number 4, beginning there, God is speaking. Moses has gone up to God in verse 3. God has told him what he's to say to the children of Israel. He said, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." Do you see what God said? You're treasured. You're valuable. You're precious to me. You mean something to me. And if you'll keep what I command you, you're not going to be like anybody else. You're not going to look like anybody else. Instead, you're going to be different. You're going to be mine to me. My people. All the earth is mine. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. And you can see God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God. So there's the creator of everything. God says, all the earth is mine. But if you be different, you will be special. You see how you're my treasured people. You're not like everybody else. You indeed follow my voice. You keep my commandments. You are a treasured people. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 26. Deuteronomy chapter 26. We're going to begin there in verse number 16. Again, we think about these being a child of God and what it is to be his, those special people that we are treasured. Here, beginning in Deuteronomy 26 and verse 16, "This day the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore, you should be careful to observe them with all your heart, with all your soul. Today you have proclaimed the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, and his judgments, and that you will obey his voice. Also today the Lord has proclaimed you to be his special people, just as he promised you that you should keep all his commandments, and that he will set you high above all nations, which he has made in praise, in name, and in honor, and that you may be a holy people to the Lord your God, just as he has spoken." Do you notice here? God will set you high. You are an exalted people. You're not like everybody else. You keep his commands. You put him first. So his statutes, his commands, his judgments, his voice, everything he says, if you obey those things, look what God does. He will set you high. He will exalt you above all nations. We think about those places like 1 Peter chapter 5. There in verse number 6, "Humble yourselves in the mighty hand of God and he will lift you up." He will exalt you in due time. It is God who exalts. We don't exalt ourselves. God does so. Why? Because we obey his voice, because we observe those things that he has commanded us. And notice there, and that exalted people. Look with me at Luke chapter 1. When we think about what it is to be a child of God and how special, how precious truly that is. When we think about the responsibilities that those that have come before us have had and the examples then that they set. And we have no right to do anything less today. Here in Luke chapter 1, We were reading about a man by the name of John. An angel is talking to Zacharias about John, that he is going to have a son with his wife Elizabeth there in verse 13, and you're going to call him John. Go down to verse 16. Gives a description of what his life is going to look like. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You see, we have the same responsibility. John was going to go and make a people prepared for the Lord. We do the same thing. We help them be prepared so that when Jesus returns, they don't have to be worried. They don't have to be afraid. They are prepared. They are ready. They look forward to that return. Just as Paul writes to Titus there in Titus 2 in verse 13, that we can have our hope, our foundation in him. We can look forward to that glorious day when Jesus returns. We don't need to have any fear. We should never be afraid for Jesus to come back. You know, I've listened to people before and I understand the sentiment. I want him to wait just a little bit longer because there's some people I need to talk to. Amen. I get it. Not because I'm afraid for me, but because I want people to be right with him. You see, my responsibility is to be active in the life that I live, showing Jesus by the way that I live, but helping to make sure that others are prepared as well. The first ones John was going to be going to, the house of Israel. He was going to make sure they're prepared for the Lord. We have a responsibility not only, like Jesus said in Luke 19 and verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. There's a responsibility we have there. Go into all the world, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Absolutely, we need to teach them. We need to help them. We also have a responsibility to one another. That responsibility to build each other up. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, help to bear burdens. In verse 9 of Galatians chapter 6, that we're always looking for opportunities to do good, that we don't lose heart in doing good, that we don't get downtrodden in doing good, but we're always looking for those opportunities to help those around us. He says, do good in verse 10 to all men, especially those of the household of faith, meaning we have a responsibility to one another. We need to help each other, lift each other up, make sure that we're prepared to meet God, that we're prepared to stand, as Paul writes to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, all are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He goes on in verse 11 to say, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we preach Christ. We want to make sure that everybody's ready, that we have a prepared people. But you know who first has to be prepared? Me. If I'm going to help you, then I first have to be ready. My life has to be right. My life has to be lived in accordance with those statutes and judgments and commandments. That God's word is the one that is written on my heart. Look with me, if you would please, at Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. The Hebrew writer is going to be quoting from Jeremiah. But in verse number 10, God says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I'm going to take my word. I'm going to write it on their heart. Meaning it's going to be on the forefront of their mind. I'm going to put it there because these are the people who desire to live for me. These are the ones who take my word to heart. These are the ones who take what I say seriously and they make application of it. They follow after it so that their life is lived in a right accordance with me. Meaning that I live my life the way that God would have me to. And if I'm living my life that way, then I can help the people around me to do the same. And one of the things that I love about VBS, I'm gonna pick on some of these young men for just a moment, these high school aged young men. You guys like to give each other a hard time? You pick on each other? Maybe a little bit. You know what I also get to watch? I also watch that you fight for one another. That you are there for one another. No one's going to tear you apart. That you're going to be there. And that if one of you starts to do something that is ungodly, the rest of you are going to keep him in line. You see, that's the way that it's supposed to be. We got to be able to count on each other. We got to be able to be there for each other. Now, we can pick on one another. You guys pick on me often. I love it. I'll pick on me too, okay? I don't like that step. It's higher than I like to be, okay? God made me short for a reason. And I have stood on ladders, and I have been at the height that some of you are at, and the air is none better. Do you understand? It's not any better. Man, I love you. I'm so thankful that we get to help each other be able to get to heaven. And the thing that I would ask, and what I know is this, if I start to step out of line, it's not to lord that over somebody, it's not to say, I get to put you down. If I start to step out of line, somebody's going to jump in because they're concerned that I would lose my soul. See, we get to help each other be able to get to heaven. And a part of that way is just like God says here. I'm going to have a people that are set apart for me. I'm going to write my words on their hearts. It's going to be on the forefront of their minds. It's going to be something that they are continually desiring to do in their life, to live for me. And to help those around them to do the same. We get to be people who follow God with everything we have. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 2. I love how Peter writes this out and spells this out for us. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to begin in verse 4. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Do you see what he says about those that would follow Christ? That we come to him as to a living stone. There are people who are not going to understand why you live the way that you live. You've been rejected by men. But notice what he says. Chosen by God. Do you see that word but? There's the contrast. Rejected by men, chosen by God, notice, and precious. There's treasured, valuable. You also, as living stones, verse 5, are being built up, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. This would be that choice, like we talked about in our Bible class this morning. You and I have a choice. I can either be obedient to his word or I can choose to be disobedient. But that choice alone lies with me. I get to make that decision. They have done so. Jesus is a rock of offense to those people who do not desire to live godly. They want to have nothing to do with him. They've made a choice, a decision. They stumble because of it. They're disobedient to the word. Notice they were also appointed, meaning they also have the same expectation to follow after. But we get to make a decision. Either we're going to or we're not. Verse 9. But, so in contrast to those who stumble, you are a chosen generation. a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. There's that grace that he talked about, or we looked at already in Titus chapter 2. It's appeared to all men. We can follow after it again, or we can choose not to. But let me ask you this question. Where's your foundation set? If Christ returned, is this what he sees? Is this how he sees us living? Is this what he would call us? That's one of mine. We talk about that confession that we make in the plan of salvation from Matthew 10 and verse 32. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. Is this what Jesus sees in us? That we are precious, we are valuable, treasured, that we, because of the manner in which we live our life, will be exalted by him, that we will demonstrate and show that we are prepared to meet him and we're helping everybody else around us to be able to do the same? Are we zealous? Are we on fire? Are we boiling over? Because we just can't wait to share Jesus with other people. That's why I love the week of VBS. Oh, we can't wait. You know, there were people who spent long nights, who spent early mornings to talk to others about Christ, to help them to see and to understand what God would have them to do, not based on opinion, but based on what the Scripture says. Because everywhere you go, everybody's going to talk about it. Here, all we're going to give is, doesn't matter what I think, here's what the Bible says. People ask your opinion all the time. Who cares what you think? Show them what the Bible says. Show them what God says. You see, that's why you're peculiar. That's why you stand out. That's why you have that word written on your heart. Because that's all you're going to follow after. It's not going to be some devised fable. It's not going to be some cunning saying. It's not going to be, what can I say next that's going to grip the people and get them in? How am I going to live my life? What does my life look like? Would he call me precious? Would he call me special? Peculiar? Do I stand out because of the manner in which I live my life? Am I different than everybody else? Do they see it? Does God see it in me? You see, he's redeemed me. He's the one who has, because of his sacrifice, he's the one who's purified for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. There's my part. His part's already been done. You see, he came here, lived that perfect life, was the perfect sacrifice for you and I, made it possible for you and I to have a hope that can be unwavering, to have a foundation because of what he has done for us to stand on for all time. And he's given us the opportunity for a reward, an inheritance, beyond anything that we could ever imagine. If you're honest with yourself this morning, is that what you will receive? Or are there some things that maybe you need to change? Perhaps this morning you need to become a child of God. Your faith has to be your own. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. Causes you to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. There were those who did and there were those who did not. In John 8 verse 24, Jesus said, unless you believe that I'm he, you die in your sins. That belief has to be sincere, because what it causes then is godly sorrow. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verses 9 through 11. That change that happens. That godly sorrow leading to repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. You see, that change of mind, change of heart, change of action in repentance. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 tells us that God commands all men everywhere to repent, to change, to live as he would have us to. Be willing to confess his name, as we talked about in Matthew 10. Be willing to be buried with him in baptism, where his blood, Revelation 1 and verse 5, washes our sin away. Again, we just talked about there in Titus chapter 2 that there's not a sin that we could commit today that he does not have the ability to forgive, that his blood will not wash away, to give us that hope. That hope has to be seen every day Revelation 2 and verse 10, be faithful unto death, I'll give you the crown of life. We get up every day to be a child of God. There's no better life you could live. Or maybe this morning as a child of God, think about your life and there are some things that need to change so that you can be right with Him. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come now. As together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.